It is such a blessing to be here today, and it is wonderful to see you. It has been a beautiful weekend on and off, thankful for the rain and the breaks in rain and all of the things in between. But what a joyous occasion that we celebrate today as we think about some of the joys that were already mentioned. This past week, Andrew Chase became a brother in Christ. What a special young man. And we want to celebrate that and welcome Andrew to the family. So thankful for that day. A little bit different news. Katie and Blake are going to be moving back to California for just a brief bit. Her dad's been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they, along with sweet Hattie Mae, are going to be going out to help with things there. And I know they're looking to lease their house. And so you know somebody that might be looking for something for about a year. We love you guys, and we're going to be praying for y'all and praying for your dad. And just we'll miss you and look forward to seeing you back soon. Now, I want you to find that one of these pictures is not like the other. All right? Cute friends and different things. And Jerry, I couldn't find the picture where you actually do this. As far as flying on a pole, but Sid was really trying to help Tammy do that, and it just didn't quite have the same effect. But I love the youth. That was on our youth mission trip, and I love that Sid and Tammy are still part of our youth group and chaperone team, and so what a blessing. Hey, this afternoon, twice a month, we host services at one of the local nursing homes, assisted living homes, and the first and the third Sunday of the month. And the third Sunday is this Sunday, and we are hosting the service at the Golden. And so if you'd like to bring your family, or if you'd just like to join us, if you want to be a part of that at 3 before our Bible study at 5, we would welcome you and love to have you be a part of that. And so we look forward to that. If you would be turning over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1 through 6. We've been studying through the Gospel of Matthew, and we have just concluded where Jesus sends out his 12 specifically the lost sheep of Israel to share the good news, to proclaim the gospel. And Matthew chapter 11 begins with a very interesting statement that I want to draw your attention to. Chapter 11, verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns throughout Galilee. I think it's interesting to me that not only is Jesus one who teaches and preaches, Jesus or sends out, he is also one that goes. And I think there is an important lesson for us just in the first line of this chapter is to think about what following the Lord means. It's not just talking about it. It's not just being active in the spiritual disciplines or thinking about the Lord or center. It's actually going out and doing the very things that we saw Jesus doing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Not only did Jesus send us out, Jesus went out. And I think that's important for us to know today as we begin. And so, I want you to do something with me today, because as we think about this topic of disillusioned, and specifically, we're going to be looking through the eyes of John the Baptizer. I want you to think about a time in your life. Have you ever felt disillusioned? Things did not turn out like you thought they would be. Things that should have never happened in your life. Maybe they happened because of the wickedness of someone else. Maybe they happened in another situation or some other place, but it wasn't what you thought it would be. And you were disillusioned. I had a sweet student several years ago named Sarah. Sarah was an incredible high school soccer player. Her brother played football for us at Jackson Christian. And she was just precious. Sister in the Lord, went on to a nursing school. She meets a fantastic young man who is an ER doc. And they were married about 8 years ago. In this past year, he has some one in 250 million type chance of things happening. It's sort of a vascular brain spasm that kind of is a stroke of sorts. But everything in her life has totally changed now. With her doctor husband, who is no longer able to move the left side of his body. He's been at the Shepherd's Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia for the last several months, and they are just now this week being able to go home to begin the transition. And as I've back and forth with Sarah over the last few weeks, different times and messages and whatnot, I have seen in her a spirit that even as they celebrated their anniversary, and the tagline she shared was, in sickness and in health. It wasn't the way that she had planned it. Things aren't happening in their life with two small children quite like she thought they would. And I would say there's a bit of disillusionment. And it's been hard. It's been lonely. It's been scary at the uncertainty of what's going to come next. And as I think about that, I think about our character today. I think about John. And I think about a voice from prison. I think one that was the first cousin of Jesus, the one who leapt in his mother's womb as he first heard about the coming Messiah, the one who was the voice crying out in the wilderness, the baptizer, the one who called for repentance throughout the land. And now he sits in a prison cell. Cold, dark, damp cell. Picture it with me if you would. The only light you see is through a small barred window up in the top corner of the room. You hear distant sounds of life continuing outside while you sit in chains, forgotten seemingly by the world. And now imagine that you're John, the forerunner of Jesus, the one who had prepared the way for the Messiah. But right now in this moment, you're wrestling with a question that's eating away at your soul. What if I was wrong? What if I was wrong about all of this? Let me read from Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. And when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you see, what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not fall away on account of me." Today I want you to imagine with me John's voice and what John might say at this occasion. Let me tell you what I think he might say. "My friends, I need you to understand something. I was so certain. You see, when I first saw Jesus coming towards me and I cried out those words, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.' And then at Jordan River, something in my spirit leapt. As at his baptism, the Father's voice from heaven, the Spirit descending on him like a dove, the words, 'This is my beloved Son.' I've never seen anything more amazing in my life. So I spent my whole ministry announcing him. I lived on locusts and honey and wore camel's hair and made the wilderness my pulpit. All because I knew he was the Messiah. I baptized him. I declared him. I decreased so he could increase. And now I'm chained. I'm chained in Herod's dungeon, and the certainty that once burned so bright has started to flicker. Where is the revolution that was promised? Where's the judgment that I proclaimed? Where is the liberation of God's people that was supposed to follow His coming? Now, before we judge John too harshly, I want to ask you something. Have you ever wrestled with doubt? Have you ever dealt with something or wondered or had questions about things in life? When are things going to change? Where are you, God, in the midst of this situation? Have you ever wondered about the question, why? I know this past couple of weeks, even as we watched the events from the flooding in Texas and the tragedy that so many families have endured, you can't help but wonder, God, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Where are you in the midst of this situation? You know that's something maybe, like John, you've wondered about. Have you ever been absolutely certain about what God's plan for your life was, only to find yourself making changes and questioning everything? Or have you felt like God called you to a specific given mission and you filled your purpose and then you watch those circumstances just unravel around it? You see, I think that's where John was. Because of this one that Jesus said, there's not a greater one born of woman than him, even John wrestled with doubt. And I want to tell you what I think the root was. I think at the root of it, it was the fact that Jesus was a misunderstood Messiah. You see, like every faithful Jew of his day, John had expected, he had an anticipation of what the Messiah would be like. Let's listen to John again. You see, I preached that the one coming after me would come with a winnowing fork in his hand, and he would separate the wheat from the chaff and burn the chaff with an unclean. And I would proclaim a Messiah who would bring swift judgment, who would overthrow Rome, and who would establish God's kingdom with power and might. But this Jesus, he's different than what I expected. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He tells stories about patience and mercy. He teaches about loving enemies instead of conquering them. And while I sit in prison for speaking the truth to power, he walks free, seemingly unwilling to rescue the very one who announced his coming. I just don't understand. You see, like John, the seeds of doubt often come into our lives when there is a gap between what the expectation was and what the reality is. Maybe you've been there. You see, this is where I think we oftentimes get tripped up. We create an image of how we think God should work. We think this is what He should do. This is how He should respond to our faithfulness. This is His obligation. And when God's ways don't match our expectations, we begin to doubt. Not just our understanding, we begin to kind of doubt God Himself. And I'm reminded of that verse early in my life in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, when it says, "For my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But I still think they ought to be like my thoughts." You see, something that we learn from this moment is we begin to doubt. John expected a political revolutionary, and God sent a spiritual transformer. He said, I want a revolution, but Jesus wanted a revelation. John expected immediate judgment, and God sent a patient Messiah. John expected faithfulness to be rewarded with freedom, but instead he gets a prison cell. And so here's what I want you to pay close attention to. This is what John did. You see, when doubt came knocking in John's life, he made a decision that changed everything. Rather than just packing the questions down, rather than just ignoring or trying to ignore the elephant within sight of his heart, John called two of his disciples and he said, I want you to go. I need you to ask Jesus something. I can't shake this feeling. I can't get over this question. I need you to go and ask Jesus. You see, he chose to face his questions rather than to ignore them. Listen to John's voice again. In the suffocating darkness of my cell, I made a choice. I want you to remember for the rest of your lives. I chose asking over assuming. I called two of my disciples. I gave them a message for Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Some might be shocked that I, his cousin, his forerunner, the one who baptized him, the voice in the wilderness preaching about him, would question Jesus. But I need you to understand, questions are not doubt is not denial, and wrestling is not walking away. You see, John had the power within him to ask the questions, the hard questions. And so I think it's so important that we understand, look, doubt is not the enemy of faith. Denial is. When you question things in your heart, and they will come up, those things, you have two choices. You can stuff them down, you can paste a smile on, I'm fine, or you can have the courage to ask someone honestly about those questions that you have, to wrestle with them openly and to bring them into light to where God can address them. Maybe it's through a study of His Word. Maybe it's through wise counsel of a brother or a sister in the Lord or a friend that you hear from. But the thing is that we cannot just ignore it. You see, John chose honesty. And notice what he did with his doubt. He took it directly to Jesus. He didn't talk about his concerns with everybody that would listen. He didn't abandon his calling. He didn't start following a different teacher. He went straight to the source. You see, when doubt creeps into our lives, I want to do what John did. First, acknowledge the doubt. Stop being ashamed of your questions. Remember that Moses questioned God at the burning bush, that Gideon, in a sense, questioned God at his calling, and then again as his armies were shed to the side down to the 300. Even Thomas, one of the apostles, would question Jesus. Even Jesus would ask the question, why have you forsaken me? So the first key is to acknowledge the doubt. The second thing is to go to the source. You know, how many times do we have questions about the Bible and we go and we're going to watch a video on TikTok? Or we're going to find a YouTube channel that talks something about it? Or we're going to, and yet God is saying, come to the source. The further away you get from the source, the more likely the stream has become polluted. So return to the source. John went back to the very source of his problems, of his questions. Dig into his word. Study the life of Jesus. Don't rely on secondhand faith. Instead, make it personal. Third, be prepared for God's answer to come in unexpected ways. I want you to notice Jesus' response. When the disciples came and found Jesus, he had delivered the question. Jesus did not rebuke John for doubting. He didn't get on to him. He didn't yell about it. And I can't believe, man, after all this. No, he didn't scold him. Instead, he gave an answer that was rich in revelation. Let me read it again. Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have heard the good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. Now, imagine John receiving this message. Can you imagine his thoughts with me for a little bit? At first, I'll admit it, Jesus' answer only deepened my confusion. I ask a simple question. Are you the one? And he gives me a list of activities. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. What kind of answers are these? But then I remember the words of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet, words that every faithful Jew would know. When he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and opening of prisons to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. As I thought about Isaiah's words, it hit me what Jesus was saying to me. In that list of activities, he was answering with the very credentials that Isaiah the prophet had prophesied about the Messiah. The one, the are you the one I was asking about? You see what Jesus did? He said, yes, I'm the Messiah. He provided the evidence. He pointed to the fulfillment of the specific prophecies. He gave me and all of us reason to believe, based upon Scripture, based upon the observable realities. You see, we heard Jesus read that at the very beginning of his ministry, didn't we? In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went into the synagogue early on in his ministry, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and it was Sabbath, and he went to the synagogue for he was accustomed, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were on him. And he began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, so oftentimes, our answers and expectations don't always align. And it may take a little while for us to see what God is waiting for us to see. But if we will continue to walk through the doubt, if we continue to press on beyond the moment, if we think about, and like John was asked to realize, he had been looking for the wrong kind of revolution. Jesus, he expected, would throw over the earthly kingdoms, but he was really here to establish an eternal heavenly kingdom. John expected him to destroy the enemies, and Jesus came to transform them. John expected a political liberation, but Jesus brought spiritual freedom like humanity had never seen before. Freedom from the inside out. You see, this was the expectation and the reality that John navigated. So many times we want things on the outside to change, but we don't want to change things on the inside. We want our relationships to be different, but we don't really want to change. We want circumstances rearranged, but God really wants our heart renewed. So keep walking through the doubts. How do you navigate those seasons? Keep moving towards Jesus. That's what John did. He didn't deny struggle. He didn't pretend he was fine when he wasn't. You see, doubt isn't the sin. It's often a sign of your faith growing when you're asking those questions and when you're wrestling with them. You begin to question, and it means God's preparing you for expanded understanding. Second, dig into the truth. When questions arise, don't run from the investigation. Run towards it. That's what John did. Truth can handle your questions. It can handle scrutiny. In fact, truth actually welcomes examination. I want something through this story to be clear, that we serve a God who's big enough to handle our biggest questions. That's who God is. When John sent his disciples with this desperation question, notice Jesus did not rebuke him, but instead he provided insight for him. So go directly to God with your questions. Bring them to him in prayer. Search for his answers in his word, because God's not threatened by our doubt. I think about Job, and I think about all that Job went through, and the flood of doubt and the flood of issues that he was questioning. And God did a pretty good job handling on the old Job. Fourth, look at God's logic. It's not just his miracles. Jesus answered. It wasn't a display of power to prove himself. It was a reasoned response. Again, much like the prophet Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Faith is not a blind assent. It's reasonable. It's something that when you look at the evidence, it points you towards truth. And realize sometimes this process is not quick. But there is a great blessing for us in trust. You see, when Jesus ends this message, he ends it with this statement. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. I think in that is both a promise and a warning, because there are times when people deal with doubts and they struggle, and they are, instead of wrestling through the doubts, they walk away with the doubts. John wrestled through them, and Jesus said, you're blessed because you didn't fall because of me. When you take your questions to the Lord, hold on to him. Ask the hard questions. When you stumble, when Jesus doesn't fit your preconceived notions, remember this. Remember John. You see, he discovered in a prison cell that the Messiah that he had announced was far greater than the one he actually expected. So here's our response as we close. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's oftentimes the very traveling companion for faith. Don't be ashamed when you have questions. Ask them. Share the thought. Wrestle with it. Because if you're wrestling with God like Jacob, you're never too far from God. Don't be discouraged when your certainty about things wavers from time to time. Use those moments as an opportunity to dig deeper and to seek harder and to set your foundation more firmly in God's truth and take your doubts to Jesus. You see, the same Jesus that answered John's questions from a prison cell is ready to meet you. He's ready to meet me with my doubts. When he's struggling, when I'm struggling to know what I should do, the same truth that was there to guide John is here to guide us. And so may, as we think about John's encounter today, may we have the courage to face our doubts and to seek wisdom and truth and to trust in faith because he is faithful. I want to close with a prayer. And today as we sing, perhaps you have something that you would like to bring to the Lord, maybe to share with the body here that you realize this is not where I'm going through this alone. You don't have to. Our elders are around the room and would be glad to talk to you and pray with you. It will not seem, you know, as you stand up and walk back there, there'll be 15, 20 parents walking the same direction. It'll be fine. Don't be ashamed. Don't hide from the fears or the doubts that you have. Be willing to reach out and share them. Maybe today's the day you decide to become a child of God. Repenting of your sins, being willing to confess the name of Jesus, that you believe in his death and his burial and his resurrection, that you are convinced that that was for you as well as the whole world, and that you want to be united with Christ in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to become his child this very day. If there's any way we can help you, if there's any way we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing together?